Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.podomatic.com.
Hello and welcome to this Christmas episode of Luke's English Podcast. Now, today I'm joined once again by my brother James. Hello, James.
Hello.
And today we're going to tell you all about what a typical Christmas is for most people in the UK. The UK?
Well, yes, I suppose we're specifically southern England. You know, there are slightly different traditions around the UK, such as Scotland may do things slightly differently, up north of England things. So I suppose we can only really claim to represent southern England.
Or like London. To be honest, really, I think we can only really talk for ourselves.
For ourselves.
So mainly what we're going to do in this episode is just tell you about what Christmas really means to us.
But I suppose it is fairly typical of English and British people.
That's true. Absolutely right. So we're going to tell you about a typical Christmas for us here in London, in England, in Britain, in the UK, in Europe, in the world, etc. Right? And also we're going to teach you, along the way, we're going to teach you bits of vocabulary and expressions that relate to Christmas and New Year and all the things and celebrations and various aspects of Christmas. Okay, so cultural stuff and a bit of vocab in the process.
Okay.
Yeah, so how are you doing?
I'm okay, I've got a bit of a cold, but I'm fine.
The flimmin' phone. I bet that's a cold caller.
Luke's just gone to answer the phone. This is sometimes a common thing.
Hello, Luke's English Podcast. No.
Yes, very common thing. People get hold of your phone number through the telephone directory and they phone you up trying to sell you stuff, or sometimes it's just a robotic voice trying to sell you something. Very annoying and very little you can do about it.
That was a robot voice then. Mm. It said, "Hello, this is an important recorded message for Luke Thompson." And so immediately I knew it was a cold caller.
Yeah, it's borderline illegal, although...
it's very annoying.
It's very annoying. It's well into the annoying category, yeah.
We call it cold calling because it's a way for companies to just call someone without any warning.
Without any previous interaction. So a sort of a warm contact would be if they'd already answered a questionnaire saying they wished to receive more information. But yeah, in this instance, he hadn't been asked.
No.
So that's why it's a cold call.
Because they're just calling you without any previous contact at all. Cold call, which is ironic, because when the phone rang, you were just telling everyone
that I had a cold.
That you had a cold.
Different meaning of cold. Cold is just I guess it's the same all around the world. A mild flu.
Yeah, it's like a virus that goes round.
Yeah.
And everyone kind of catches it. Because people always say, oh yeah, there's a cold going round. You know, it goes round. That means that, you know, it passes from person
especially
to person.
In a place like London, where you have very tight concentration of people on public transport. And colds and minor diseases can, that sounds disgusting, but sorry,
minor
it's true.
Diseases.
Minor diseases can spread quite easily through the handrails and the shared air that you get underground.
Yeah,
so
right,
it's a common thing in London to get colds quite a lot.
Basically, the London Underground is just a
breeding ground for disease and infection.
A breeding ground for disease and infection. It's
so there
true.
You go. Some people say this podcast is too positive. So there we go. We've given you a negative there.
My brother believes that sometimes in this podcast, I'm too positive about things. I don't agree. I think that you haven't really listened to many of the episodes.
No, I've hardly listened to any of them, to be honest.
Yeah, so you haven't even listened to the episodes that you're in.
No, I haven't. It was too embarrassing.
And I did say urine. I didn't say urine there.
Good.
Don't ever mention urine on the show
in
until
this house.
Until now.
let's get to the point.
Can I just explain what happened there? Sometimes in English, words can sound like other words, right? Like if you say the word "you're," meaning you are, and "in," you are in, right? It can sound a bit like the word urine, right? Urine, yeah. Urine.
It's not a very good joke, but some examples of this work better than others.
I don't think that's really a joke. It's more just a coincidence.
It's a double meaning.
Urine.
So you could, for instance, I don't know if I should say this. If I were to offer you a coffee.
Go on.
I could say you for coffee.
Like you for coffee as a question, like you for coffee, but it also sounds like a rude word.
It sounds a little bit like a you go you, and you, do something.
You for coffee, you for coffee, you fuck off.
Okay.
You for coffee.
I think they get it.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Anyway, so you haven't really even listened to the episodes that you're in, have you? Don't tell me to fuck off at this point, right?
Enough swearing. I think we should delete that bit.
Let's get down to business and talk about Christmas, shall
okay,
we?
Okay.
But we're both, before we do that, we're both suffering from ever so slight colds.
That's why we sound sort of slightly bunged up. There's a phrase for bunged up.
Bunged up. I'll write this down. I must write down.
So we write down cold call.
Yeah, okay.
Bunged up.
Urine.
Not that one.
I should write it down. Cold call, bunged up.
Bunged up, that just means blocked up nose.
You for coffee.
We're not going to do that.
I don't know, I might write it down anyway. Urine.
Things not to say in a business meeting, for instance. You don't lean over to the managing director and say, you for coffee? That would be a social faux pas,
unless
which is French.
A faux pas. It is. A faux pas is a French word.
And some English phrases are just literally a French phrase, which we quite like the sound of and have been picked up over the years and accepted as English phrases.
Yeah.
For instance, cliché.
Okay.
Faux pas.
Yeah.
A
cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
It's true. It's
cul-de-sac. Cul-de-sac.
Wait. What is, first of all, what is a faux pas? What is a cliché? And what is a cul-de-sac? What's a faux pas? Well, it's a French word.
Fake. Faux means fake, doesn't it?
Maybe. I don't know what the original.
I don't know what the
French
literal. I don't know what the literal
means.
Thing means. We're embarrassing. If you know, write it in the comments.
I'm
underneath.
Sure we've got loads. I've got loads of listeners who speak French who can tell us exactly what faux pas means in French, but in English.
It just means a minor mistake.
It's a social mistake.
A social mistake. Yeah.
So, for example, if you go to a business meeting and you
are wearing trainers
and you're wearing sports shoes, trainers, sneakers, pumps, that kind of thing to a business meeting where you should be dressed in a formal way, that would be a faux pas,
yes.
Like a social mistake. Okay.
Correct.
Next one was a cliché, another French word.
It's because we don't have a literal translation for that in English, so we use the French, which means a cliche, a kind of. It's very hard to explain without the French word.
Welcome to my job.
It's very hard to explain without using the French.
I think a cliche is something which has happened many, many, many times, and to the point which it's now become really sort of predictable and not even necessarily true.
Slightly embarrassingly. Obvious, maybe.
Obvious, or predictable. It's been repeated many times.
So, for instance, a cliché would be an English bloke swigging lager with an England top on, watching the football.
So that's a cultural cliché.
A cultural cliché.
Which is very similar to a stereotype.
It is. That's the word I was looking for. It's similar to a stereotype, but it doesn't just have to fit a person. It could fit a style or a...
Usually stereotypes describe a type of person, don't they? Like the German stereotype... the American stereotype, French stereotype.
And all the best stereotypes have an element of truth in them as well, obviously.
Yeah, like the English stereotype. There's two English stereotypes for me. One is that we're very posh, stuck-up, kind of gentlemen.
Drinking tea, wearing bowler hats.
And being very posh and going, oh, my good man, that kind of thing.
Mm.
Which, you know, the Americans love that kind of English stereotype. But the other stereotype is...
is a football hooligan.
Yeah.
Somebody going, whoa, Lager,
England, 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 England,
very,
England,
England.
Right? And I think actually most English people have both.
A bit of both.
Yeah. They can be very reserved and polite and, oh, sorry. But on the other hand, they can, if they have
they
a few drinks,
they can be quite ignorant and stupid.
They become ignorant, stupid.
And I include myself in that, unfortunately.
Yeah. I think you're more hooligan than gentleman, and I'm maybe more gentleman than hooligan. But it
so
depends.
So you like to think.
I don't know if it's true. It depends. Sometimes you're more gentlemanly than I am, and sometimes...
I don't watch football. I'd like to point that out. I don't follow a team. I'd never drink lager.
How many times have you had a fight in your life? A physical fight?
A few. But they're really asking for it.
Well...
That's not true.
I haven't really had... I've never actually had a physical
fight.
Yeah,
but you don't... It's not like you drink tea in the Ritz every day, is it?
No.
Anyway, let's get to Christmas before we start arguing.
Faux pas, cliché. The other one I just think we should deal with is a cul-de-sac. A cul-de-sac is basically a road which you can't... What is it? A road that has no end?
It's not a following through road. It's just
a road with no through passage. So
we're so bad at English.
Never mind. Doesn't matter. It's difficult to explain things sometimes. Mm. So a cul-de-sac is one of those roads where when you drive to the end, you have to stop and turn round because that road doesn't continue to another road. So it's like a cul-de-sac means like end of a bag in French, I think. The end of the bag. But in France, they don't use the word... They don't use the expression...
to describe a cul-de-sac.
Yeah, they don't use the expression cul-de-sac.
Interesting.
They use it for something else.
I think it's a sort of posh... Well, faux posh word. See, that's French again.
Yeah,
faux.
Well,
a faux posh word given to sort of slightly run-down housing areas to make them sound more posh.
Because...
Or is that just my cultural snobbery?
I think in England, when we use French words, it's often used in quite a posh way.
Yeah.
Like the French things are often considered to be quite posh and high quality.
Sophisticated.
Sophisticated.
We see
right.
the French as being sophisticated. So when we say cul-de-sac, we think that sounds very sophisticated, where actually in French it just means the bottom of a bag.
Yeah. And
that's irony.
And is it?
I don't know.
And also, basically, cul-de-sac is a road. I still can't explain what cul-de-sac is.
Well, just drive down one, and if you get to the end and there's just... The end.
The road
and
just
you have to
ends.
Turn round. That's a cul-de-sac.
Yeah. It's usually like a housing estate.
A little housing estate, yeah.
Okay, right. This is meant to be about Christmas.
I know.
It's all right. It doesn't matter. We can.
They're learning. As long as they're learning.
Yeah, exactly. And my listeners are always desperate for more content.
Are they?
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
Really?
Every day I get emails from people.
What, saying I can improve your size of your penis, Viagra for sale, things like that.
Well, yeah, but also I get lots of emails from listeners who say things like, by the way, listeners, what my brother just said was an attempt at humour. You might not have realised.
Everybody gets those emails,
no,
it's fine.
They might not have realised that was a joke.
That was a joke.
That was meant to
He's
be a
got
joke.
A...
Just don't mention
okay,
my private
okay,
parts.
Okay.
My brother's got this disease, it's called a sense of humour. It's an English thing. We're all suffering from it on this island.
That sounds a bit something.
So anyway, we were supposed to be talking about Christmas.
Okay,
right?
Christmas. We are, can I just point out, sitting right next to a small but beautifully formed Christmas tree. And if I do this,
yeah,
those are Luke's baubles jangling, mm-hmm. which are small silver and red balls which hang off the Christmas tree. I'm sure you're familiar with them.
They're decorations.
They're popular the world over.
James is now describing the Christmas tree, which is decorating my apartment because it's December. And at this time of year, it's traditional for people to purchase a Christmas tree.
I think that's pretty common the world over.
Yeah, I think it is too.
And it's a small little fir tree because it's a very small flat. It's a very small tree.
Yeah.
That's one of the things about living in London. Everywhere's small. We've got some of the smallest accommodation in, well, I'm sure certainly Europe and certainly America.
Don't know. Well, we've got the smallest accommodation in America.
We're not.
As far as I know,
compared
Britain's
to America,
not in America.
Compared to America, or compared to the rest of Europe as well. London, because of the density of people, of What am I trying to say?
What you're trying to say is that our living accommodation is quite limited.
Generally small and expensive. But that's not to do with Christmas.
And a result of that, I have to buy a small Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Right, so the Christmas tree is decorated with things like tinsel.
Tinsel, that's a Christmas phrase. You can write
tinsel,
that down.
Tinsel, okay, I'm going to write that down.
Which is a sort of, I'm sure you know it, it's a sort of synthetic foil decoration, which comes in the form of a sort of long string, glittery string stuff.
That's right, and also some baubles, which are the other kind of decoration, which hang. They're like those coloured silver or red or gold, shiny balls which hang from the branches of your Christmas tree, baubles. These are key pieces of Christmas vocab.
Okay, let's move on.
Right, so what's Christmas all about for you, James? What have you got planned for Christmas?
For me, it's about family.
Why are you saying it in that voice?
Because that was a sort of cliched East End London voice. And EastEnders, there's also a TV programme called EastEnders, which you could watch for a bit of East End lingo.
EastEnders,
put that down.
I think I've mentioned EastEnders before.
But they all talk like this because they're proper Cockneys.
They're all geezers. They're Cockney geezers.
They're geezers,
you know what
and
I mean?
Geezesses. And then they're like, and their main thing that they're interested in is family. It's your family, son. Your family.
You've got to look after the family, you know what I mean?
Which is a lovely thing.
When it comes to Christmas time, yeah, you've got to get the family back together.
And there's a slight implication that the family is some kind of criminal organisation as well, usually.
This thing we're talking about, EastEnders, it's a soap opera which is set in the East End of London, which is traditionally the kind of working class area of London.
It's a very old working class part, and it's changed a bit these days. It's quite fashionable to live there now, but you still get enclaves. There's another French word.
Enclaves.
Is that a French word?
I don't know. I think it's just an English word.
It's Latin anyway, isn't it?
Is it?
Bound to be.
Enclaves, we say. Enclaves.
I say enclaves.
Okay, well, you say it wrong.
Anyway, enclaves are very old working class families that have lived there for years, although obviously Britain, being a sort of dynamic place, it has changed, but London rather. Anyway, EastEnders.
Whoa.
We should talk about EastEnders.
Just hold on a second. Just slow it right down. I know you've had two cups of tea. The caffeine is going to your head. Look, just chill out a little bit, okay? This is Luke's English podcast you're listening to, right? And I, as Luke, I'm the English teacher here. Just going to slow it down a little bit here, all right?
All right.
Enclaves. These are like what? Little areas in town where...
You could say pockets. That's an English way of saying it. A pocket of something.
Basically, it's like an enclave is a community. It's a small community in the city.
Not necessarily. An enclave could be...
Enclave.
Okay, I'll go with your explanation. Yeah. It's a small pocket of a community.
It's a community.
Well, I think you could say an enclave could mean...
Enclave.
It doesn't have to relate to people. You could say enclaves of, you know, of greenery, or I don't know. Let's move on.
I'm the English teacher. I'm going to call superiority on this one. I think you pronounce it enclave, and I would describe it as a small community within a city, for example. Like, for example, the area that I live in, this local area is like an enclave because there's like local cafes and supermarkets and things like that. So it's an enclave, an enclave, in fact.
It's enclave.
We'll check it out in the dictionary.
Okay.
I'll check it out for sure, and we'll find out later on. So anyway, we still haven't started talking about Christmas. We're nearly 20 minutes into the episode. What do you mean, ouch?
Wow, seems like a long time.
Doesn't matter. People want to listen to more rather than less, trust me.
Okay.
They're not... 10 minutes, they'll be like, only 10 minutes?
So let's get back to where I started from. For me, forgetting about EastEnders, which you should check out if you want a bit of social realism, because EastEnders is a bit less glossy than some sitcoms. It's a bit more down-to-earth and a bit grittier.
Down-to-earth, gritty, down-to-earth, glossy.
Gritty.
God, all this language. We should deal with this now. Down-to-earth just means... like realistic,
humble, not arrogant.
Yeah. Down to earth. We'd use down to earth to describe a person who sort of uses common sense. They're not very what's the word for
pretentious.
It?
Pretentious.
So they're sort of normal.
Grounded.
Grounded. Both feet are on the ground. They're just like sort of level-headed, common sense kind of person, down to earth.
They don't get carried away with themselves, and
they're not overly emotional or pretentious. They're kind of like down to earth. So like,
solid.
Like, yeah, like my mate Dave is pretty down-to-earth guy.
Yeah, he's a solid guy.
Because you say, all right, Dave, and Dave just speaks in common sense. He's sensible, he's under control. All right, Dave. All right, Luke, how's it going? I'm fine, thanks. What have you been up to, Dave? Oh, just this and that. I've been at work, I've been doing my job, been looking after the kids. You know what I mean? You've got to look after the family, right? So Dave is down-to-earth. Now, EastEnders, this soap opera, it's quite a down-to-earth program because it deals with just ordinary people's lives. It's not about sort of emotional or artistic concepts.
It's not about oil barons living in Texas or Dallas, you know, whatever.
Yeah. It's not set on a space station.
No.
It's not Doctor Who. It's not about sort of time travel.
It's about ordinary working class people that live in a small square.
Yes. So it's kind of down-to-earth.
Okay, what was the other phrase?
I don't remember because I didn't get a chance to write it down. But I guess some of those English learners will just have to try and rewind
okay, so
and
let's
pick
get,
that one up.
Get back to Christmas.
Okay. All right. So then, as far as I'm concerned, Christmas is... When does Christmas begin?
Well, I was going to talk about Christmas being about family.
Well, yeah, okay. Christmas.
I just wanted to sort of say that a bit more. Christmas... is very commercial these days, and there's a lot of pressure to buy lots of expensive presents, and there's a lot of... I'm not particularly religious, so for me, the main thing I like about the Christmas period is going home to see my mum and dad, see my brother Luke, see my uncles and aunts, and my granddad, and just see the family with no other reason except just to relax, eat some nice food, drink some nice wine... and see my family, people that I care about.
Yeah, essentially, it's all about family. Isn't it?
It's all about family.
Yeah, okay. So, I agree, I totally agree with that. I mean, there is obviously this religious aspect to it. It's about, you know, the birth of Jesus Christ and all
or,
that stuff.
Or whatever.
And all that kind of thing. But, I don't know, really. That I think even before Christianity came along, there was a big festival.
A midwinter festival.
Yeah, it's the winter festival. Mm. Just like the way that Easter is the spring festival, Christmas is the winter festival, and it happens right in the centre of winter when the days are very short and it's cold and dark outside. You get together with your family, your friends or whatever, and you eat like a big meal which will help you to sort of get through the rest of winter. So it's the winter festival. Then,
and it's also a kind of time to celebrate the year that's gone by and look forward to the new year.
Yeah, it coincides with New Year.
At the start of a new year. So it's a kind of cycle of life.
Yeah.
And the winter is, yeah, it's just a good time to sit around indoors around a big fire and sort of take stock. That's a phrase.
Take stock.
Take stock of the year.
Well, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. Take... Okay, stock. If you work in a shop, all of the products that you sell, you keep them in the warehouse, and that is your stock,
yes.
Right? So it's like all the products that you have in your warehouse that you can sell in your shop, and that's known as your stock, right? So every time you sell stuff, you've got to buy new stock and put it into your warehouse, and then put it onto the shelves in your store stock, right? Now, probably about every month or regularly in a shop, you have to take stock. And that means you count all of the stock which you have in your shop, right? And it's a way of, for example, calculating exactly what you have in your stock, right?
And so, make sure no one's stealing from you.
Yeah, make sure you're not losing anything, or so you know exactly what you've got.
Yeah.
Now, the expression to take stock also can be used to just refer to...
your life.
Yeah, accounting for all of the aspects of your life. So at Christmas, you have a little holiday, and maybe at New Year, you take stock. You think about everything that you've done during the year. You have a look at your life, and you think, all right, where am I? What's going on? What should I do in the future? And of course, at New Year, you come up with a New Year's resolution, don't you? Which is something which is like a promise to yourself, which you will then keep next year. And it's usually something like, I'm going to give up smoking, or I'm going to learn French, or something like that.
I'm going to travel more.
I'm going to travel more.
I'm going to drink less, in Luke's case.
Oh, yeah, right.
Although he never quite manages it.
Yeah, sure. I think you're talking about yourself there, actually.
No, okay, let's move on. Christmas. One thing I wanted to say, when you're younger, as a child, to be honest, the most thing you get excited about is presents. And at Christmas, like I'm sure the rest of the world, you exchange presents. But when you're a child, you get very, very excited because you think you're going to get the new Star Wars set, or you think you're going to get a new bike. And it's very exciting. And as you get older, you kind of start to realise that's not the most important thing. You know, the most important thing is the people around you. But when you're a child, if I'm very honest, I used to get very excited about new stuff.
Yeah. Could you sleep at night when you were a kid?
No. And that leads us on to Father Christmas, Santa Claus, which is another universal thing.
Santa Claus.
It's Santa.
I think in America they call him Santa Claus, and I think in the UK we tend to call him Father Christmas. Christmas,
yeah. Well, either will do.
But we do say Santa Claus now.
We don't say Santa, Santa.
Santa Claus.
We should be careful not to joke about the Americans too much.
Yeah, we like...
Or anyone else.
Yeah, I don't know what they say in Australia. Yeah, mate.
Yeah, mate. The Santa Claus is coming.
You're going to dress up as Sinner?
Sinner?
I can't do it.
Sinner?
I can't do the Australian accent very well. What about New Zealand?
New Zealand? They like Santa.
That's rubbish. That's the worst Kiwi accent I've ever heard.
Anyway, enough of the cultural stereotypes.
Did you do you think there's anything strange about Santa Claus or Father Christmas?
A big, massive guy with a big white beard creeping into your bedroom late at night, being driven by a herd of magic reindeer to take presents and put them in your sock, which hangs at the end of your bed, then drink a glass of cherry, eat a mince pie, and then fly off to do do the same thing for every child in the world all in one night?
Yes.
No, that sounds perfectly reasonable.
I mean, it's pretty odd. The weird thing, and I've mentioned this before in this podcast, for me about Santa, is that idea that in the middle of the night, when you're asleep, there has been like a big, old, fat, grey-haired, bearded drunk hanging around in your bedroom.
But in Luke's case, that was true. Because
it was my dad.
You know? Our dad.
Yeah, and because...
Let's be fair, he wasn't that fat.
But he definitely had a beard, and he was probably a bit drunk because it was Christmas.
Because it was Christmas Eve, and that's fine. And that's... They know about Santa. We don't need to tell them about Santa.
Do you
Santa.
Remember when you learnt that Father Christmas was not real?
Yes, I do. And it was a note left by Santa... Santa left a note.
What did it say?
Yes, it did.
Hello, James.
It's signed.
I noticed that you ordered a BMX for Christmas, and unfortunately, I can't afford to buy you one. So I hope that this small Kinder Egg will do in place. Ho, 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 ho.
No, it wasn't quite like that. It was a note saying, Merry Christmas, love from Santa and Rudolph. And there was a sort of little note from Rudolph. There was a crumb left from the mince pie we left out.
What's a crumb?
Just one crumb. It's a small chunk of pastry or other food which is left on your plate when you've finished eating. A crumb, a small little tiny piece of food.
Tiny little piece of food. So you get a crumb if you eat a biscuit. You might get a little crumb of the biscuit left. You also, if you eat a cookie, because that's American, a cookie. Right?
Mommy, can I have some cookies?
Can we have some more cookies, Mommy, please?
No, because you're morbidly obese.
Yeah, so if you eat a biscuit or a cookie, you might get crumbs left. If you eat toast, you might get crumbs left on the plate.
Would they know about crumbs?
They don't necessarily know. I'm the English teacher here. I'm the qualified professional, 10 years of teaching experience.
All right.
Then I think I know when my listeners know what a crumb is or not.
Well, they do now.
I expect that they probably didn't know what a crumb was until they listened to this. So...
Well, I'm glad your psychic abilities are kicking in right now.
It's called professional experience. It's not psychic ability.
All right. Skip to the end.
Right. So, a crumb. So, basically...
There was a note as well. Put down notes.
Know what a note is.
All right. Yeah. So there was a note from Santa saying, thanks for the mince pie. And the thing is, that was in my mum's handwriting.
What's a mince pie?
A mince pie is a traditional Christmas item, which is bloody international. They all know what a mince pie is.
We know what a pie is.
It used to be made from mince meat. And then
what's mince meat?
In the early days, I'm going to say early days, Victorian, pre-Victorian times in Britain, what we consider savoury and sweet weren't as different. So a mincemeat could be both sweet and savoury. So it could have meat in it and also dried fruit, suet, and that was a kind of staple food.
Yeah.
But now our mincemeat is actually just the fruit and a bit of fat.
Essentially, though, mincemeat is like meat which has been ground up. You know, like when you have bolognese, spaghetti bolognese, you use minced meat, right? So you're saying that these mince pies
would have once had meat in them.
They would have had mince meat.
As well as dried fruit and things like that.
But now...
And a bit of suet, which is animal fat.
Okay. But now mince pies are like little pies and they contain... They don't contain any meat anymore.
No.
They're sweet and they contain dried fruit and sugar and maybe bits of nut.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. They're delicious.
They're very nice. They're a traditional... Not just English, I'm sure European, I'm sure in... International Christmas treat.
I don't know if they eat mince pies in places.
I doubt they do in China or places like that. I doubt it's an Asian dish.
I don't know if they're in Spain or Italy or
I'm sure Northern Germany. Europe though. I mean, I'm sure the Scandinavians and that
they'd like to eat a mince pie.
They would like
to Christmas.
Oh dear, no, let's just avoid the whole bad accent. Sorry about that.
That's right. The Scandinavians have a sense of humour. They can laugh at themselves. They would find that funny.
They find that because essentially since we've just done a Dutch accent as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, moving swiftly on, I think it's time for you to say something, Luke. What do you associate with Christmas?
Okay, so we dealt with the mince pie thing.
Hang on. That's how I knew Santa wasn't real, because the note from Santa was in my mum's handwriting, and I just lost it. I mean, I just started crying. No, that's not true. I'm lying. My suspicions were aroused. And kind of a way of breaking it to me gently, I think, this massive lie about Father Christmas has finally been revealed to be not true. Well, you know what I mean, a lie.
I lost it. That means you just went crazy.
I didn't really, that was a joke, but lost it would mean going crazy, losing your mind.
And losing your temper and like, oh my God, what's this? Mum, why is Father Christmas's note written in your handwriting? What the hell's going on? Who's the president? You know, it was like that. And my suspicions were aroused.
That sounds very Sherlock Holmes, but it means it's quite an old way of saying...
Like your sense that...
something was wrong.
Something was suspicious. You're like, Watson, my suspicions have been aroused by this note written in your mother's handwriting. You know, that kind of thing.
Exactly.
Okay, so my suspicions were aroused. It means that you became suspicious.
Correct.
Yeah, thanks. Okay, so you learnt that Father Christmas wasn't real because...
Let's hope there's no children listening. Sorry, kids, it's your mum and dad. And if you don't have any mum and dad, it's your carer or... Let's just leave it there because that's very sad.
You're talking about orphans, poor orphan children.
I am talking
about
orphans. It happens.
Poor orphan children who have nothing else to do but to listen to Luke's English podcast.
Well,
it's a sad story. Imagine some poor orphan child who's the only thing he has at Christmas is an internet access and an iPod. Oh, all I've got is an iPod.
Well, actually,
I don't have a mum and dad.
That's actually,
and I'm from the north of England for some reason.
That's actually symbolic of a common issue, you could say, these days.
Yeah.
There's some research done to suggest that a lot of parents these days are working very hard. They're not spending as much. Both parents might work.
Mm.
They're spending more time away from their family than ever, and there's evidence to suggest that to make up for this, they're buying their children more and more expensive gadgets and electronic products.
Gadgets
like computer games, Game Boys, iPhones, whatever. But sadly, this doesn't actually make the children happier. Although they may think that they want an expensive present, the evidence suggests that happier children are the ones who simply spend more time with their families rather than being bought off. Bought off, there's a phrase, with expensive gifts.
To be bought off, okay. I actually have read about this in the newspaper, and I know what you're talking about. I'm just writing that down, to be bought off. It's that these days, because of economic reasons and so on, in families, both parents go to work.
Often,
and
both
parents have full-time jobs, which means that the kids often spend time alone, or they spend time in with babysitters or something,
or on the internet, on Facebook.
Yeah, they don't have as much contact with their parents anymore, and obviously the parents feel really bad about this. And so at Christmas, in order to kind of make up for the fact that they haven't spent that much time with their kids, they'll buy them these expensive consumer items, like, you know, Game Boys and stuff.
Designer jeans.
As you're really in touch with what young people want these days, and as a result, they give them these things as a kind of substitute for their own love and care and attention, which they can't give to their children. It's a sad story.
It's sad. I'm welling up here.
Are you welling up?
Welling up.
Go on, well up then. Make it obvious.
Welling up means, almost literally, imagine a well of water overflowing.
Yeah, it's like when
the tears are coming to your eyes.
Yeah.
You're not quite crying. You're nearly crying. You're welling up.
By the way,
you watch Bambi, you'd probably be welling up by the end of that.
Yeah, or any sort.
Or near the middle. I can't remember whenever his mum dies.
Does his mum die?
Oh, Luke's welling up now.
What? You'd say that Bambi's mum dies? Okay, Anyone out there who doesn't know what Bambi is, it's a Disney film about a deer. Do you know what a deer is? Well, you know what a deer is.
I know what a deer is.
A deer is, well, you know Bambi. Okay, that's what a deer is. It's an animal that lives in the forest.
Which brings us neatly onto Christmas food. I quite like venison at Christmas.
What's venison?
It's actually deer meat.
Oh, right.
Which is why they killed Bambi's mum, they could eat her.
Really? Yeah.
Very nice cutlets, quite clean, lean meat, not too much fat. Very nice with a glass of red wine.
Quite gamey,
yeah, because it lives in the forest, eats apples, stuff like that.
God, the amount of language which is coming out of your mouth here is quite lean meat, you said lean.
Lean meat means not much fat. Lean. So say you went to the butcher's, you might ask for some lean meat.
Lean meat, so that's meat without too much fat.
Yeah.
Okay.
A deer is an animal that lives... A hoofed mammal.
Hopefully, whenever I explain the word deer, and I do explain that word quite a lot for some reason, I always just say Bambi, and most of the students know exactly what I mean. So deer. I've got a joke for you. Do you want to know what it is?
Yes.
Yeah. What do you call a deer? Now, like, take your time over this. Don't jump. Don't jump ahead. What do you call a deer with no eyes? Now, perhaps I should just explain.
No.
Wait, don't jump ahead.
I don't know.
You don't know. Very good.
What
do you call a deer? Now, this is a joke. I'm telling a joke, listeners. This is an old, quaint English tradition. A joke. So, what do you call a deer with no eyes? And the answer, the typical answer is, I don't know.
I don't know. You have to answer that, otherwise the joke doesn't work.
That's the way that jokes work.
Okay, just accept it, okay?
You ask a question, the person says, I don't know, and then you answer that with the funny
line.
With
a humorous answer.
Okay, so let's just go back to the beginning of this joke, okay? What do you call a deer with no eyes?
I don't know.
Well, the answer is, no idea. Okay, right. Okay, I've got another one, actually. What do you call a deer with no eyes and no legs?
I don't know.
Still no idea. Okay.
That's going to take so long to explain.
I'm here all week. So, deer. So, Christmas food. Well,
let's get on to that. The traditional Christmas meal is turkey, which is a winged bipedal.
Wait a minute. We all know what a turkey is. It's like a big chicken, right?
It's a
big chicken. And the only reason they exist on Earth now is so that we can eat them at Christmas. I think, you know, in England... Oh, I really need to blow my nose. There's a bit of vocab. Vocab hunters.
Luke's going
to
blow his nose now, which
blow
means...
my nose. Well,
firing snot out of his nasal cavities into a piece of tissue paper.
Right, I've got the tissue. my listeners are going to be treated to the audio explosion. God. It's the audio event of the year. Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin. So, drum roll. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Luke blowing his nose. Silence in the auditorium, please. As Luke is getting the tissue paper ready over his nose, and he's just about to blow. Here we go.
Disgusting. But better that than sniffing.
I think in some cultures that's really rude, like blowing your nose.
Well, over here it's not exactly loved, but it's much better than sitting there sniffing all day or wiping it on your sleeve or something.
Sniffing is worse. Like, sniffing is really...
all on the tube, which is normally me because I forget to bring tissue with me and I'm but disgusting.
I know in some cultures that's considered to be very rude if you blow your nose. But, you know, this is Luke's English podcast. We're in London. It's not rude here.
When
if
in
you,
Rome, blow your nose.
Well, Jesus. You need to explain these things when you say them. When in Rome is an expression, which is like an idiom that we use to say, when you're in a place, you should do things according to the customs of that place. So, when in Rome, live as the Romans do. Or, when in Rome, do as the Romans do. When in London, you can blow your nose.
But you still say, when in Rome.
Yes.
You don't say, when in London, do you?
No, you don't. You say, when in Rome, because that's like
it's,
the idiom.
It's the idiom that covers the whole thing. Yeah.
Okay, so blow my nose. You know when you've blown your nose, do you ever look?
Not when anyone's there looking, but yeah. It's actually quite useful because it helps you know how ill you are.
Yeah.
For instance, if it's very dark mucus, it means you're probably quite ill and you should probably think about going to the doctor.
Just to
maybe we should just move away
from
words,
that. Two words, snot and mucus. Snot is, well, the snot and mucus are both words to describe the green stuff that comes out of your nose when you're sick. All right?
Let's move on.
Moving on. I've actually written a list. I had a brainstorm about Christmas, and we've only dealt with about three items on this massive list. So we've got another... I'd say we've got up to an hour for this episode.
Ouch.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
Trust okay, me. Well, let's get on with it then.
So I've got... Christmas used to be a winter festival. We've dealt with that. So for me, when Christmas starts, is basically when Halloween has finished. Like, in terms of the shops... The shops start putting up all their Christmas decorations, all their Christmas merchandise goes into the shops right at the beginning of November.
That's the kind of commercialisation of Christmas.
Yeah.
Is that a word we need to put down?
Commercialisation. Commercialisation of Christmas.
Which means the sort of, well, we know what commercial means, making money.
Okay.
So commercialisation is the act of making Christmas about spending money.
Yes. Kind of capitalism, isn't
capitalism,
it?
Capitalism, I suppose.
So commercialisation.
And some people feel that Christmas is too commercialised or that they start merchandising too quickly. So a lot of people think Christmas doesn't really start until mid-December.
And so what happens is...
But a lot of people start early. The shops start in November or even earlier sometimes.
You get lots of Christmas decorations in the shops. And what happens is you always hear people complaining about... oh my God, you know, I went into Sainsbury's and they've already got their Christmas decorations up. It's absolutely unbelievable. It's only the 1st of November. I mean, God, what is the world coming to every year? Don't you hear someone saying that?
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you do a lot.
People always get so
pissed
off.
And those people are quite boring, but they might have a point that it's a bit annoying being bombarded. There's a word.
Oh my God. Being bombarded.
It just means attacked.
It means being bombed.
Bombed, basically. Bombed. Like we were, not personally.
All right.
Let's stay away from the kind of. Right. Don't mention the war.
Yeah, being bombarded by something. Now, the term originally means being bombed when people drop bombs on you, right? And we all know what that means. But if you're bombed, you can also be bombarded by other things.
You can be visually bombarded.
Yeah, you can be bombarded by advertising or bombarded by merchandise.
Yeah, or bombarded by excessively loud music or. Yeah. Terrible pop music, but bombarded by the X Factor hype.
Okay, good example.
Thank you.
So, the shops basically start dealing with Christmas as soon as Halloween has finished. Then they put the decorations up, the lights go up in the centre of town, and they switch on the lights. Next one is the word Scrooge. Scrooge.
Well, so, that's from A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens.
Yeah.
Who was a Victorian writer,
yeah.
Was he? Yeah.
It was 19th century.
19th century. Quite famous. Great Expectations, that was him, wasn't it?
Oliver Twist.
One of our great British London-based writers.
He was a great writer because he wrote about the experiences of most working-class people in London.
Yeah, as well as the upper-class people. But yeah. he wrote about all types of people. He's a good record of the time. Sorry, Luke thinks I'm talking over him here. A bit like he was like the EastEnders of his day.
Yeah, it's all about family.
All about family. Although some people might say EastEnders is a trashy soap opera. Do we know why soap operas are called soap operas? Because they're originally mini operas, mini stories, sponsored by soap companies.
You're listening to James's English Podcast. So, what else? Scrooge is about a stingy man.
A miser
is someone who only cares about collecting money. Stingy is someone who is mean, who's not generous with money, so a stingy person, right? Scrooge is the character in this story by Charles Dickens, and Scrooge basically learns through this story that he should stop being so stingy and he should be more generous, right? And one of the things that Scrooge says at the beginning of the story is, "Bah humbug, bah humbug." That's B-A-H, bah, and humbug. I don't know what humbug actually means.
I don't think it's a very commonly used word. It's just a sort of humbug. It's a sort of it's almost a sort of way of saying gibberish or rubbish,
nonsense
or nonsense, or
it's like nonsense.
Or there's another Anglo-Saxon word that starts with B, which is
bollocks.
We can say that. It was proven in court that it's not a swear word. The Sex Pistols named their album Never Mind the Bollocks, Here's the Sex Pistols. They got taken to court by the Obscenes Publications Act, I think, or someone.
Mm-hmm.
And they fought it in court. The owner of Virgin Records, Richard Branson, went to court and he brought out a lot of manuscripts and texts showing that bollocks is a old British English word meaning the testicles, and as such it was not just a gratuitous swear word. It was in the dictionary and was not offensive. It was just English.
I reckon, right, some poor English teacher out there has discovered this episode of Luke's English Podcast
and is crying.
Like some teacher in, I don't know, Canada or something, you know, some teacher from somewhere in like Japan has kind of gone, "Oh wow, I've found this really neat episode of Luke's English Podcast where it's all about Christmas. I'm just gonna put the CD on while my students are in the classroom I'm gonna mark their exam results and they can listen to Luke's English Podcast about Christmas." Little does she know that
what's her name?
I don't know, Jane. And little does she know that we're talking about bollocks and snot and stuff like that. We're meant to be talking about Christmas.
Okay, get on with it.
Talking about bodily functions.
So, but humbug, that's where we came
from. Bah humbug. It just means,
It means, rubbish.
It means, nonsense. And that's what Scrooge says. So, bah humbug. But we use the expression bah humbug as a kind of phrase, a saying, which means, I don't care about Christmas.
It's not a very popular phrase, though. I never hear people say that.
I just wrote it down, because people do say that.
It's worth pointing out an excellent version of Christmas Carol, which is The Muppets Christmas Carol, featuring, what's his name?
Kermit the Frog.
No, the actor.
Michael Caine.
Sir Michael Caine.
Yeah.
"You're only supposed to blow the bloody doors off."
And they're not going to get that.
Zulus, thousands of them. Wait till you see their right to their eyes, lads.
What my brother is doing is, having drunk two cups of tea, he's getting a bit overexcited, and now he's doing Michael Caine impressions quite badly. But
hello, Luke. My name's Michael Caine, and I'm here to talk to you about Christmas. That sounded like a dog.
That's not Michael Caine. The thing about Michael Caine is that everything he says is said in groups, in small groups of words.
Better.
It's a little bit better than yours, but it's not good.
Anyway, he plays Scrooge in A Muppet's Christmas Carol, which is an excellent, excellent reimagining of the classic Dickens tale through Muppets.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on.
This is a crazy episode. You know that.
Come on, move on.
This is like a slightly insane episode. So, Christmas shopping. Let me talk for a bit. Okay.
All right, well, shut up. You brought me on this show to talk.
Okay,
and now all
right,
all
right. You're back
much.
In the room. You can carry on. I'm just trying to get through it in the next 10 minutes.
All right.
I know I like the sound of my own voice as well, maybe. So, Christmas shopping. It's probably the same in most countries, but here you have to buy gifts for all your close members of your close family. So you have to do those trips into the centre of town, which is a nightmare because everyone is aggressively trying to buy their gifts for their families, and so it's sort of becomes a bit. It can be a little bit aggressive.
A pain. Can we say that? It's a pain.
It's a real pain.
That's a popular English phrase.
It's
it's a pain.
It's a pain in the neck.
It's just a sort of abbreviation of it's a pain in the neck or it's a pain in something else. But we say that quite a lot. Oh, it's a right pain.
Oh, it's such a pain doing Christmas shopping.
Yeah, it's a real pain.
Because you go to Oxford Street and everyone in London has had the same idea as you. It's like, I'll go to Oxford Street and do my Christmas shopping and that'll be fine. And of course, the streets are totally crowded and you're kind of like bumping into people and stuff like that.
And that kind of represents the worst thing about London. People say, you know, what's the best thing? What's the worst thing about London? The worst thing is just the sheer volume of people that live here, the number of people that live here. And
so many.
When those people all turn out at once, you get very big crowds, very hard to move. It gets very irritating and you kind of get angry, you get stressed, and so does everyone else, and it's not a very nice experience.
Yeah, you get angry.
You get stressed.
You get stressed out, you get frustrated.
You might say, I'm stressed, I hate shopping.
You're like, or, oh,
Christmas shopping's such a pain, all these idiots in my way.
Yeah, get out of the way. But you wouldn't say that.
You're saying it to yourself under your breath, because we're English, you know, we don't say what we mean, obviously.
In English, basically what you say is, oh, sorry.
Yeah, you say, sorry!
Actually,
which means get the hell out of my way.
I was actually this thing about sorry. I was in the body shop the other day, trying to buy some gifts, and I clumsily knocked over like a little wooden sign. It had a wooden sign which said like 25% off at Christmas, up to 25% off. And this, and I picked up a bottle and with my elbow, I knocked over the sign and I tried to catch it and it dropped on the floor. I was like, oh dear. And the member of staff behind me went, oh, sorry. And why is she saying sorry?
That's English for you. If you want to know the English psyche, that's it.
I knocked this sign off the shelf and the woman behind me said sorry.
What she really means is, excuse me, get out of my way, I'll pick up that sign you've knocked over, you clumsy idiot.
Yeah, exactly.
That's sorry means in that instance. Yeah. Sometimes when we say sorry, it actually means sorry.
I think it was like, sorry, you're an idiot, sorry.
Yeah. I'm sorry you were born this way.
I'm sorry you're such an idiot.
Yeah. Or, I'm sorry you're in my shop.
Oh, God.
We're getting deep into the English psyche here, aren't
Christmas
we?
Christmas shopping, all right. Christmas cards. They're quite a big deal here.
They've gone out of fashion a little bit. People used to have Christmas lists, not lists, Christmas card lists, which would be everyone you know, you send them all a Christmas card, and it's a way of staying in touch with people you don't see very often.
Mm.
But I'd say the younger generation use them much less than the older generation. I think they're slowly going out of fashion. Do you know that as a phrase?
That's
out
a good of phrase.
Fashion.
Going out of fashion. Yeah.
These are all sort of useful little stock phrases.
Yeah, they're going out of fashion.
Like Luke's haircut, for instance.
Thanks a lot. At least I've got hair.
Ouch.
So they're going out of fashion. Yeah, they're not as trendy as they used to be.
Oh, I don't know about trendy. No one says trendy.
All right.
I'd say the word trendy has gone out of fashion.
All right. Bloody hell.
But no, they're not trendy. It's just,
yeah, it's just
fallen out of favour.
I'm just, yeah, fallen out of favour. That's more common
formal.
And trendy. Right.
All right. We agreed with going out of fashion anyway. We can say that.
This is what it's like when my brother and I get together. We do just argue with each other.
In a friendly way.
Sometimes we punch each other in a friendly way.
Yeah.
We don't punch each other.
Not recently.
Not anymore. So, okay, Christmas cards. So our parents, they send Christmas cards.
They still send lots of... Have you sent any this year?
No, I haven't sent any.
No, neither have I. That's what I mean. I'm more likely to write on someone's Facebook page, "Have a wicked Christmas, lol."
Lol.
No one actually says that. That's an ironic use of the internet abbreviation.
LOL.
Laugh out loud. But yeah, it just sounds funny.
Yeah.
So people say it in a jokey way, lol.
If you look on the if you look on YouTube,
they know about lol.
Yeah, everyone knows about lol.
But L-O- you're not supposed to say it.
LOL. But. Not everyone knows about lol. Honestly, it's not everyone knows that. I often teach that to students at school, and I say, you know what, lol, you know, lol, and most of them are like, yeah, we know lol. But then there's always a few people who are like, no, what is lol? I don't know what lol.
What is this lol of which you talk?
Yeah, and then I have to say, lol, it means laugh out loud. Unless, of course, you're our mum, in which case it means lots of love, right? Which is lovely, isn't it? But sometimes she writes, lol used to mean lots of love, right?
I don't know if it ever meant that.
No, it did. In letters, in abbreviations, in letters, LOL meant lots of love, right? When you used... In the old days, when you used to write notes by pen, you know, by hand and stuff. So mum still writes LOL at the end of her text messages, as if to say, well, really looking forward to seeing you this weekend. All the best, lots of love. All the best, lol. And it's like, why is she laughing at the end of her text messages? She's not laughing. She's saying lots of love.
Okay, yeah. What's next?
Next thing is that Christmas trees, we've already talked about that. Apparently they originally come from Germany, but they were imported into England during the reign of Queen Victoria, who was married, of course, to Albert, who was the German prince, and he brought the tradition of having Christmas trees with him to England. In America, they've had Christmas trees for many years, too. Many people believe that that's because many of the German kind of connections they have... German immigrants brought the tradition of Christmas trees into America as well. Let's see.
So no culture is really on its own, is it?
Yeah.
That's kind of a misnomer. A mistake. People seem to think that England is a sort of culture in itself, where obviously there's many, many influences that have come into this country. The same in most of the world, although I'm sure there's enclaves.
Enclaves,
I'm sure it's a French word.
Cambridge,
OED. Which is the Oxford English Dictionary, I prefer. Oh, he's going for the Cambridge one.
Okay. I'm right. Enclave. Let's hear it, shall we? Should we hear it pronounced?
Okay.
Make it loud enough.
Enclave.
Oh.
In your face! Enclave!
Well, I think it's open to interpretation.
And in America? Come on.
Enclave.
Enclave.
You're going to believe that robot over me.
Excuse me, Cambridge. You just told us how reliable Cambridge dictionaries are.
Yeah, well, what's the origin of the word?
Oh, no. Look. Actually, look, there is another version of the pronunciation. Enclave. So you can say enclave as well.
You can say either.
But they both seem to say enclave, don't they?
Well, yes, but I think...
Enclave.
Yeah, we've already had that, thank you. Does it say about the origin of the word, whether it's French or whatever?
Oh, it probably is French, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that it's originally French. It doesn't make a difference to how it's actually pronounced in English.
Well...
It doesn't, I'm sorry. It doesn't.
Anyway, you can use either.
Enclave or enclave. I prefer enclave. Yeah. Oh, dear. And almost an hour has passed.
Let's wind it up then.
Okay.
Wind it up. There's another phrase for you.
Let's wind it up. Let's bring this episode to a close.
Is there a good Prodigy track called Wind It Up? You should check that out. You should link to that from here. Click below now if you want to hear Wind It Up by the Prodigy.
I don't know if I'm going to do that. So I'm just going to just go through
quickly,
the rest of the
let's
things.
Let's just go through
this.
Them. Okay.
So other things, images of Christmas. You've got snow, of course, white Christmas, they call it, when the snow has fallen.
We had a white Christmas last year.
That's right, but it's very rare, in this country, but sometimes you have a white Christmas. On Christmas cards...
Frank Sinatra.
Shh! Just be quiet for a moment, please. Robins, these are birds, which you see on Christmas cards. Cute little birds with a red chest. That's a robin. Obviously, there are other religious symbols like stars and stuff like that.
I mean, obviously, we're not anti-religious, we're not aggressive atheists, we're just saying you can celebrate Christmas without being overtly religious about it.
It doesn't have to be religious.
Although we used to go to Christmas service, didn't we, when we were younger?
We did. We used to be religious. We were both baptised when we were children. We were both baptised to be members of the Anglican Church. We were baptised.
Is it Anglican Church?
Of
course. I thought it was Church of England.
Same thing.
Shows how much I know.
What do you know? Anglican, Church of England, same thing, right?
Henry VIII,
yeah, that's right. He
invented the Church of England so he could have multiple wives.
He broke, not multiple, well, yeah, so he could
divorce. Yeah, so he could remarry, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
And that caused a big rift between England and the Catholic Church.
Yeah, well, there was a big, basically the Catholics in England were persecuted by the Protestants, and they were chased down, and many of them were killed and slaughtered, and Catholic priests had to hide away from... It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. We're a very bloody history, this country.
Yeah. So, obviously, there are Christmas...
We'll cover that another time.
...Christmas songs that we often listen to at Christmas time. On the radio, when you go to the pub, you hear these Christmas songs being played. Always the same things. You've got, like, Do They Know It's Christmas by Band-Aid.
Yeah, we should link to all these.
I'll put some YouTube videos on the site and you can see these Christmas songs.
Only it's a kind of a love-hate relationship. That's a good phrase.
A love-hate.
It's pretty obvious what that means, but it means you love it and hate it at the same time.
Yeah.
So there'd be things like Fairy Tale of New York by the
Pogues.
I was going to say the Stooges then, but by the Pogues. That would be a different version, wouldn't it?
Mm-hmm.
By the Pogues, which is a beautiful song, but once you've heard it a million times, it can get a bit grating, but
yeah,
it's still great.
But at the same time, and it can be a bit grating.
Grating can like hurt your ears,
like a cheese grater.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But I still love that song.
What you're saying is that because at Christmas time we always hear the same songs over and over and over again, they can be a bit frustrating. But at the same time, we love the songs because that. When you hear them, you realise, it's Christmas.
And also, some of them are very well-written songs, which is why they've lasted. Yeah, for another one is... So here it is, Merry Christmas, everybody, which is by Slade.
It's Christmas!
Which is a very kind of bawdy, kind of loud, brummy kind of drinking song.
It's a glam rock classic from the 70s by a band called Slade. And the song is called Merry Christmas, Everyone. And it's a really, really... well-known Christmas song here in England,
and you kind of sing along to it when you've had a few beers, and it's a kind of a bawdy sing along.
For me, that when I hear that song, it reminds me of being in the pub on Christmas Eve, listening to surrounded by people having a good time, and then that song comes on, and everyone starts singing along, and there's that moment in the song where the lead singer goes, "It's Christmas." Or something, right?
Yeah.
It sounds a bit like a Muppet.
What are the other good ones?
Well, we've got other ones like Last Christmas by Wham.
I love that song. That is a genius song. And there's some really good drum programming in that song. And also the kind of bell tones are very, very, very well done.
Be quiet for a minute, please. We don't have much time. I just need to go through the rest of the things on the list, right? I Wish It Could Be Christmas Every Day by Wizard, another classic. Mistletoe and Wine by Cliff Richard, which I don't like very much. I don't like.
Oh, it's disgusting. What about the Mariah Carey one? That's good.
All I want for Christmas is you.
Nice video of Mariah frolicking in the snow with a little dog with its little antlers in, reindeer antlers on.
Yeah.
Very, very cute. And the dog's not too bad either.
Very funny. And also you've got Merry Christmas, War Is Over by John Lennon and Yoko Ono. And so other things, we've got like carols, Christmas carols. I mean, like things like Silent Night. Silent Night.
Yeah.
And Good King Wenceslas. Good King Wenceslas, last look.
These are Christmas carols.
On the Feast of Stephen.
Christmas carols.
Who was Stephen? I wonder.
Another religious
person. He had a feast, that's for sure.
I bet it wasn't in England. I bet it was in Jerusalem or somewhere in the Middle East.
These are Christmas carols, and they're often sung by groups of children in the town square with candles.
They used to be.
No, they do. They still happens.
Go to it does still happen.
In small towns, you get these. You know, Silent Night, Holy... Not like that, though.
And they collect money for charity and then they spend it down the pub.
Yeah. And then you've got the 12 Days of Christmas. Now, I could do a whole podcast all about that song. You know, just on the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a partridge in a pear tree. On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me... what is it?
That's enough.
I'm going to play that song. I've got that right here. This is going to be maybe a two-part podcast.
No, let's just get to the end.
Okay, I just want to play this song.
Is this mic going to pick this up?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a traditional. Do you know when it dates from, though? When was it written? I'm starting to feel quite Christmassy now.
So on the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me two turtle doves and a partridge in a pear tree.
Was it the same partridge in a pear tree as day one?
Yeah, I think he's been given two partridges, two pear trees, and two turtle doves now.
I don't think it's intended that way. I know it sounds like that, but I don't believe that he's going to give her everything on the list every day. Surely...
That's what they're saying.
Yeah, but it's not that literal.
On the third day of Christmas, my true love gave to me three turtle tanks, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree.
No, but he only sends the three French partridges. Hens on the third day. He doesn't send then another two.
Well, that's what they're saying.
You're reading too much into it.
I'm just taking it literally.
That's the song wouldn't... They'd be like, oh, and also from the day two, I had those other things, and on the day one, that thing as well.
Eventually...
It's just an adding up game. It's just a memory game.
Taking the fun out of this.
On the fourth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me three French hens, two turtle doves, and a partridge in a pear tree.
This is the best bit.
Every Christmas, my true love gave to me five gold rings, four calling birds, three French hens,
where's
two
the stop
turtle
button?
Doves, and a partridge in a pear tree.
Yeah, that's kind of...
You get the general idea.
Yeah. I think that's probably a good moment for us to end this episode.
Okay.
I've got loads of other things on the list.
Let's just quickly skip through them or anything that really stands out.
Giving and receiving goods, giving and receiving gifts.
We've kind of covered that.
Wrapping gifts up in wrapping paper, listening to Christmas music while you're doing it. The obligatory winter cold, which you always pick up this time of year, which we've done. Travelling back to your parents' house, which we've already done.
Driving home for Christmas.
Driving home for Christmas. Chris Rea.
And also a little phrase, what are you doing for Christmas?
What are you doing for Christmas?
What are you doing for Christmas, Luke?
I'm just going back to my parents' house. There you go.
That's that covered.
It's a bit of social English for you.
There you go.
What are you doing for Christmas, James?
Oh, I'm going to shoot up to Birmingham and see my friends and family.
Lovely. Christmas movies. There's always like movies that are filmed around the Christmas period. Yeah. Like, for example, Die Hard. The Die Hard movies seem to take place at Christmas. For some reason, Bruce Willis always seems to be fighting terrorists at Christmas. Why is that? He's not very lucky, is he, as a person?
It's just so Christmassy. I don't know.
There's always some sort of action hero killing people at Christmas. I don't know why. When we go home, we relax. But our mum actually is even busier than she normally is because she has to cook all the food. She has to like organise everything. She's responsible for like managing Christmas. So, you know, respect to mum.
Respect to your mother and help out where you can. Do the washing up like I never do.
That's right.
No, yeah. I do. I do sometimes.
And we give gifts and it's like romantic. It can be a romantic time of year with your girlfriend, right?
Yeah.
You're buying something special for your girlfriend.
I don't know, yeah, something. I'm not sure what
you
yet.
Do. Should.
I'm going to get her something. I just don't know what
right.
yet. I'm going
right.
to get her something.
Don't overreact.
She likes cider. I might get her a big vat of cider.
Big,
is that romantic?
A big plastic bottle of cider. It's not really very romantic.
That was a joke.
Yeah. You're meant to buy like a bit of jewellery maybe, something special. Yeah?
Okay, I'll think about it. Yeah. I'll get her some jewellery, something special.
Okay. Christmas Eve, we've talked about, kids get excited. Christmas Day, of course, is when you have like your meal of turkey. That's when you open the Christmas presents. And that's when also you fall asleep in front of the television.
Can I just point out, a lot of British people drink a lot of alcohol at Christmas.
Yeah, too much.
It's kind of a cliche, but it's also true that a lot of people just drink a hell of a lot. And it's kind of part of the ritual, part of the fun of it, but it's also a bit sad in a way.
Yeah.
But another reference, as well as watching EastEnders Christmas, which you should watch, which are really horrible. There's always something horrible happens on EastEnders at Christmas. You should watch a sitcom, you can probably find it on YouTube, called The Royal Family. It's not our royal family, the King and Queen. It's a play on that, and it's spelled R-O-Y-L-E.
It's royal with an E on the end, and it's about an ordinary working class family in the north of England.
Very working class, yeah. And it's very funny.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good show.
Check that out.
Also, you get the Queen's speech. The Queen does a speech every Christmas Day, which is pretty boring, really.
It's really boring, but it's a tradition to watch it, and we all go,
And then the Queen comes on, you know, and she goes, "This year, I've been involved in a number of charity events during the year."
And then she goes, "This has been my annus horribilis."
No, she doesn't.
Which you have to know Latin to understand.
She says, "This has been my 52nd year as Queen of the Realm.
It's been a turbulent year. I know there have been some riots. And
and I would like to
extend my gratitude to the Secret Service agents for not shooting that bloke what punched Camilla with a piece of wood during the London riots."
Oh dear, no one's going to understand what we're talking about.
We're taking the mickey out of our Queen, because it's our right.
Taking the mickey. That
taking
means
the mickey.
Making fun.
Or in a more coarse way, taking the piss. I hope you don't mind me saying that, Luke. But
I don't mind.
If you say taking the piss, that's a very British thing to do, which means joking at someone.
Yeah,
someone else's expense.
Making fun of someone.
But
right?
It's also a good thing to be able to take that and take the piss back, but not to be too offended, because it's how we get our humour.
Basically,
a lot of the time.
What my brother's trying to say is that in England we often make fun of each other, but it's the same everywhere, you know.
Yeah,
it's the same.
But some people aren't always sure, because we like to do it in a dry way, which is not always obvious. It's
a
joke.
We do it in a sarcastic kind of way. Which, if you're not used to it, if you watch English people in the pub, it looks like they're just insulting each other.
And they are.
And they are. But they're also just making fun. But it's the same everywhere. Like, when I lived in Japan, I used to hang out with Japanese people, and they just insulted each other all the time, too. It's the same thing.
Same. International.
So,
another thing you should go on.
Luke's English podcast, yeah? Not James's English podcast. Okay? I've got to put him in his place sometimes. You can be a bit be a bit over the top.
A bit touchy, isn't he?
I'm just trying to finish this off.
Wind it up.
So, okay, finally, Boxing Day. So, the 24th is Christmas Eve, the 25th is Christmas Day, the 26th is Boxing Day. Why do we call it Boxing Day? No one really knows. There are various theories about it.
What,
like,
nobody really knows?
There are various theories. One theory is that it's when the employers in factories would give gifts to their employees, and they put those gifts in boxes. So Boxing Day, that's one theory. Another theory is when you take all of the presents and things that you've been given, you put them in boxes and take them home, right? Or another theory is that you put all of the wrapping paper and the decorations and things back into a box.
Are you sure this isn't?
These are just theories.
Have you looked this up on YouTube?
I have.
On Wiki?
Yeah.
And no one knows what Boxing Day is, why it's called Boxing Day.
Go on, you tell me why.
Well, I don't know. I'm just wondering if you've done your research.
Oh, for God's sake.
I think you shouldn't
I've done loads of research, because I get every year.
Okay, guys, if you know why Boxing Day is called... Guys, listeners. If you know why Boxing Day is called Boxing Day, just write it in the comment or email Luke.
Yeah.
Or better still, just send him some money.
I think, yeah, that would be good.
That's the best way to show your gratitude.
I think
buy him a pint. Buy me a pint.
I think that's the end of this episode.
Can I just another little reference you should watch? The original British sitcom, The Office, not the American one, the British one, Ricky Gervais one. Check out The Office Christmas Party on YouTube, because that's a good example of a kind of traditional English scene in a kind of slightly sad way. And in a funny way. And it shows...
Wait,
it's hard to explain.
Wait a minute. You're talking about a TV show called The Office.
Yes.
And there's an episode of The Office called The Christmas Special. And in that episode, there's a Christmas party. And that's quite a good... it's quite a good...
Down to earth.
Whoa. It just shows people what a typical English office party at Christmas is like. And basically, an office party at Christmas involves all of the staff in the office getting drunk together and probably making fools of themselves, like doing something stupid in front of the boss
because they're drunk.
And the other things are that you end up getting off with someone at work.
If you're lucky.
That getting off with basically means kissing, you know? So you'd snog or get off with or kiss someone at work because you're drunk, right? And then, like, you know, the next week you regret it. It's like, oh my God, I can't believe I got off with Sandra at the office party. And the other cliche...
I wish.
The other cliche at the office party is that when you're drunk, you go to the photocopier and you photocopy your bum or another part of your body.
I think that's international.
Yeah, that's the Christmas office party. That's it. That's the end of this episode. It's been a bit fast and a little bit disorganised. And slightly...
Stupid.
But in the end, you know, that's what life is like, isn't it? It's a bit fast, it's disorganised, it's a bit stupid.
Yeah, and no one really knows what the point of it is.
No one really... In the end, it doesn't really conclude in a
satisfactory way. There's no happy endings.
In life, no.
You just slowly sink into...
I expect that most people have stopped listening at this point.
If you've
anyway.
Made it this far, thank you. And as a little bonus, we'd like to present Luke singing a song. Take it away, Luke.
I'll sing a song. Yeah.
A Christmas song. Are you going to make one up or are you going to sing a classic?
I'm going to try and just come up. I don't have any of the lyrics, I don't have any of the chords. I'm just going to try and do it. No, I can't even...
So, I'll sing it. So this is Chris. Not that key, you can't
so
sing that.
So this is Christmas.
What have you done?
Another year over. And a new one just begun. A very Merry Christmas. And a Happy New Year. Yeah.
We can edit that.
Let's hope it's a good one without any fear. Right, that's terrible.
That's it.
Absolutely terrible. That's it.
Thanks for sticking with us.
You've been listening to Luke's English Podcast. Have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And I'll catch up with you again in the near future, right?
Yeah. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Have a lovely time. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.podomatic.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.